Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Athletico Parsnips. I hope the new year is unfolding as you would wish and that your local urban zoo is fully funded. Imagine, if you can, that you are attending the local sports centre for your booster jab. You arrive in good time and the jab is administered without fuss. You are asked to take a seat in the holding area for 15 minutes before leaving. Suddenly there is a fracas at the exit door and in strides a pale blob of a man wearing a high-vis jacket, nylon shorts and cowboy boots. An onlooker shouts, "Here, look at that, a walking ball of dough, and you don't see that very fucking often." The man is clutching a dirty ream of typed papers and announces, "I'm a common law constable with a full understanding of everything. I demand this facility is flooded, as is required by the Animal and Wildlife Act 1948. It is, of course, my co-host, Mr. Andrew Dawson. I've run out of time there, but I'll carry on.
Yeah, here it comes again. It's coming around again now.
Oh, fuck. I missed it. Ah, fuck. Shall I just sing it?
Just sing it. Hang on, I'll pull it back a little bit. We're there.
Oh, Mr. Protester.
No. We're there. Right, here comes the chorus.
Yep. Oh, Mr. Protester. Dressed in polyester. Oh, Mr. Dough Man, face like a knackered saucepan. Oh, Mr. Disruptive, with your B&Q high-vis, put your writ in the dustbin, wipe the sweat off your fat chin. That's it, Andy.
There's some editing to do, I think, in there before that goes out, but I'll do my best with it.
Yeah,
it was a nice
or not, Andy. You know what I mean?
Who cares?
Hey, I like your T-shirt. I should just describe it to the viewers. It's the old time T's TT logo in very striking. Is that French blue?
I don't know what colour.
Time T's emphasising the fact that Time T's broadcasts in colour.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago. We moved over to the colour broadcast. Yeah. I know. Yeah, you can get this online if it's the kind of thing you're into, I think.
Old TV logos.
Yeah, all of the old regions are covered, I think.
It's queer, that, isn't it? All branding on T-shirts. It's been something that's developed during our lives. Now it's put onto the internet and that, but of course in the old days...
The internet is just everyone's playground, isn't it, basically? Anything and everything is pretty much available there, I believe. I went on a date with a young lady in about 1998, and for me the lowest point of that evening, there were many low points personally because of me and who I am and how I conduct myself, but the lowest point I think was at one point when I said to her, "The internet is the future."
Did you say that?
And as those words spilled out of my mouth, I thought, there's no future here for me.
I'm sure all the viewers will want to know as well. What happened to that date? Did you both just get a sweat on and leave, or
no? Just made our excuses and went in opposite directions.
Oh, right. Can you remember what she looked like?
There was no second date.
Do you remember what she looked like?
Not really.
Six, seven.
She was a bonny lass.
Was she?
Well above my regular level. But yeah, you've got to try these things, haven't you? You know, sometimes you've got to say stuff and it might work out, it might not.
I tell you what, Andy, one of my wife's questions is about you and your dating, so I might move on to that, if that's all right.
Okay.
So the wife says, hi, Andrew.
Hi, the wife, yeah.
And she says, I was wondering, when you waddle your way up the Asda, do you honk your clown horn at every lamppost or just if you see a dog in a pram?
Yeah. What was the first bit?
All right. You're not interested, are you?
Do
you honk your clown horn at every lamppost or only when you see a dog in a pram?
Why would I honk me horn at a lamppost?
Well, I tell you what, there's an admission there, Andy, that you do have a clown's horn as you waddle around town.
I'm not saying I haven't, but I mean, what, like, surprise and joy at seeing a lamppost, is that what it is?
Yeah.
The wonder of electricity.
Yeah, or maybe when you see a UPVC door, that's been nicely hung.
Just because we've got tinties in colour now doesn't mean that I'm just dazzled by any kind of bright light or unusual
shape. Yeah.
All the lampposts, yeah. See that.
Thank you.
Tell
Andrew,
that.
She says, do you use a vice to squeeze the last dregs out of your tea bags or just pop them in your mouth and have a good old suck on them?
Who among us doesn't suck on a tea bag now and again?
I've never done that, I don't think, but it's maybe quite appealing. If you put a bit of jam on it or something.
No, I just suck the flavour out of it. Some of the best flavours are the stuff that's lingering in the bottom of the tea bag, the residual flavours.
I'm Andy Dawson. I love flavour. I really like flavour.
Have you ever bought a strip of raffle tickets and then when you don't win, you just crunch them up and then put them in your mouth and chew on them for a bit?
I suppose, yeah.
There's plenty of flavour in a raffle ticket, I tell you that.
Here's the question that was pertinent to your dating story, Andy.
All right, yeah.
Hi, Andy. Well, if you ever did get a date, would you take her to A, the tip, B, Asda, or C, somewhere that has caged monkeys?
You know what? I would, if it was the right lady, I'd do all three. I'd do all three. But, having said that, Big news in Sunderland, Bob.
What's happened to the tip?
We've got a new tip opening next week, opening on Tuesday.
Jesus.
They've relocated the tip and it's a new state-of-the-art facility. If you just give me a couple of seconds, I can give you some of the information about it.
I hope security isn't too, with it being a new facility.
It is the new Household Waste and Recycling Centre, HWRC for short, which is what we'll all be calling it, and it's at Pallion Industrial Estate. You need to book an appointment to go along.
I don't like that.
Do you not like that?
No, I like that.
They brought that in during lockdown, and I like it because it means you know that when you go along, you're going to get sorted pretty quickly. There's not going to be
when that came in, Andy, in lockdown, I thought they're never going to get rid of this now. The tip's going to lose its magic. You can't have a spontaneous dump anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just see something in your drive and say, I'd better dump that.
Is that what you've got around your way now? Is it appointment only?
It started during lockdown, but it hasn't gone yet. I've got a fridge freezer, a fridge and various pieces of shite in my drive.
Yeah.
And I can't be bothered to make an appointment. But, if it was spontaneous, I'd say, I'd put it in the car, get going,
Yeah, but surely they're bulky waste. The council to come and take them away.
I can, but, they charge about 100 quid an item.
No, they don't charge 100 quid.
They do down here. I'll confirm this next podcast. I'll double check.
Seriously?
Seriously, yeah.
Bulky waste collection here is 10 quid, and you can get 6 items collected.
I used to do that, when I worked on the bins, Andy. The best job to have was the bulky waste. You're not on the bins today. You go and do the...
on the bulky waste.
Lobbing round in a truck, picking up fridges and stuff.
One big item.
Good work, that.
Yeah.
You felt you'd achieve something,
Yeah, because you haven't got probably the smells of the regular bins that you would
have. Exactly.
You're taking away high-quality items.
High quality, generally clean items. Whereas the bins, every little bin's got a hidden little crack that the maggot juice spills through onto your shoulder, you know.
Down into your shoes and everything. So that's happening on Tuesday. I have got a slot booked on Tuesday.
Good luck. It's going to be mayhem down there, isn't it?
Well, it's not, you see, because you can only go at a certain time when you've booked and there's only so many slots. So there might be an element of mayhem because people aren't going to be familiar with the new layout. So yeah.
No, they'll be mayhem, Andy. There'll be Sunderland Mackhams going down there without an appointment saying, no, I'm not fucking
turn them
shit.
Away.
No, yeah,
nah.
And that, they won't turn away, so there'll be a queue all the way down the stadium of shite.
No, they'll turn them away. And you know, do you know where this new facility is located?
I don't know, Andrew.
It's at Pallian Industrial Estate on the former site of Rolls-Royce.
Wow. Wow. I've managed to get hold of a bit of script for Geordie Heat. Or is this a script, Geordie? Or does it really exist? Geordie Heat, can't remember.
No, it's real.
It's real?
I assume it's from Infinity Rocket Plastics somehow.
Okay, well, I've got it in script form, so someone must have written it down.
Geordie Heat. Crime on the Tyne. Hot Geordie nights. Geordie streets. Full of crime. Geordie Heat.
PC Denise Walsh is eating a steak bake at her desk. It's interior, Geordie Heat incident room.
Yeah,
it's PC
well.
Denise Walsh is eating a steak bake at her desk. DI Steve Bruce is eating a corned beef sandwich at his desk. And PC Carol Beardsley is eating an 8-egg omelette at her desk. Andy, you've got it right. It's a slow day. Suddenly, the emergency heat line rings and PC Walsh answers it.
Hello, Geordie Heat fighting crime on the Tyne. How can I help you, pet?
Oh, I'm not your pet. I'm Mr. Stig from our massive house with a massive drive and a massive gate and a massive guard dog.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sting. Sorry about that.
Denise looks over to D.I. Bruce and makes a face that would suggest she has just received her gas bill.
So, what's the nature of your emergency, Mr. Sting?
I need an officer around a massive house ASAP.
And why is that, Mr. Sting?
I'll tell you if you stop fucking interrupting every 10 seconds. Honestly, you're worse than Trudy when she's got a cob on.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
There you go again. Just shut her, will you, and listen.
There's a buzzing sound in the background. Bzzz.
Are you still there, Mr. Sting?
Yes, I'm in the massive kitchen.
Bzzz. Look, Mr. Sting, all I can hear is this, like, buzzing sound.
Yes, that's it. It's my massive American fridge, and it's making that noise you can hear, and I can't tune my lute properly.
Oh, dear. Have you tried booting the fridge, Mr. Sting?
Oh, God! Of course I have. I've booted it. I've lumped it with Trudy's yoga ball. I've shouted at it. I've even sat on top of it, but I can't get rid of the bastard buzzing.
Could Mr. Sting, could you not maybe tune your lute in another room?
No, can't you, idiot! My kitchen has perfect sound resolution, and I'm tuning up the lute for the biggest gathering of lute players ever in the world, ever. It's called Lutageddon.
You should have called it Absolutely or Lute Nutcase.
No chance, not a joke. Lutageddon could actually save the world. People like you make me want to eat my feet.
Okay, Mr. Sting, don't get a throb on. I'll send one of our special constables round to have a look for you.
Cut to interior Sting's massive kitchen. Special Constable Eddie Howe is speaking to Mr. Sting.
This is a fucking lovely house you have here, Mr. Sting. You must be very fucking chuffed with it.
I am, but what about this fridge?
I've never seen one as fucking huge as this before. Is it electric? Or does it run off some sort of fucking biofuel rocket engine?
How should I know? Trudy had it put in when I was touring Peru looking for thinking sticks and wellness gongs.
Have you tried kicking the fucker?
Yeah, of course. I'm very well versed in basic fridge maintenance, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure you fucking are, Squire. Have you turned it on and off at the socket?
I can't find the socket. I've looked everywhere, including the cutlery drawer, before you get all arsey.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the big fucking emergency? Couldn't you just get an electrician to sort it out?
No, I could not. I need to tune my lute for Lutageddon, the largest gathering of lute players the world has ever seen. I've got 30 mean minutes till I need to get on me gyrocopter.
It's a very strong name, that Lutageddon, but I would have gone for something like Tootie Lutie or Lutusser.
It's Lutageddon, fuck's sake. Everyone is a bastard cricket critic these days, so can you do out or not?
Well, I reckon it's just a fucking hunch that the sockets might be behind the actual fucking fridge. So why don't you take one side and let's try and pull the fucking thing out.
Sting and Eddie pull out the fridge. Eddie turns it off and on and the buzzing disappears.
There you go, sir. That seems to have fixed the fucker.
Yeah, no thanks to you, though. I could have done that myself.
Yeah, but you didn't, did you, Squire? So you're off to Lutageddon now, are you?
Yes, here, let me play your little song before you nick off. My kitchen fridge, my kitchen fridge was buzzing like a fly. Then Mr. Sting, yes, Mr. Sting, discovered the reason why. He saved the day, he paved the way for a festival of light.
Well, I must say, that sounded fucking excellent. I wish you all the best with your Lutageddon. See you, Sting, and good fucking luck.
And that's Geordie. A good episode, really.
That was very good. Nice to hear Eddie Howe there becoming increasingly unhinged week by week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Also, Andy, I spotted, I was watching Homes Under the Hammer this week, and there was a really good one. So I pressed record.
Yeah.
So can I play that, see what you think of it?
Please
do. I thought it was a good one. Starts off, obviously, with Martin. Hello and welcome to today's show. I'm looking around a two up, two down in Thetford today, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Tommy Walsh. Tommy, welcome along.
Thetford, yeah. I knew a bloke round here about 25 years ago. He disappeared, though. Upset one or two of the wrong people, if you know what I mean. It happens.
Yes, well, yeah. So let's take a closer look around the property. Here's the main reception room, and there's a chimney breast. That's certainly seen better days.
Yeah, I'd have that down in under a minute. Take a lamp hammer to it. Don't seem like an important piece of wall.
Yes, and then you could plaster it over and put a standalone electric fire there.
Nah, just leave it as it is, you know, as a reminder.
I suppose you'd use the radiator over there as your heat source.
Radiators? Nah, not for me. The human body's nature's greatest radiator. Striding up and down, that'll be enough to keep you warm.
I see. Striding up and down is an unusual way to keep warm, but, you know, maybe I would like it. We've got two decent-sized bedrooms, but there's some evidence of damp on the wall by the window. That's a slight concern, tell me.
Doesn't need to be. What I do here is paint over the damp with some black paint or maybe tarmac it over. Not through the wall to make one large room, but bring the ceiling right down to about a foot and convert it all into a massive crawl space.
But where would the occupiers sleep, Tommy? Surely they need a bedroom.
Oh, no one needs a bedroom. They're an affectation designed by the French. You don't really need a bed. Once you've trained yourself to sleep standing up, leaning against the wall, you can just do that.
OK, Tommy, well, let's take a look outside in the garden area. It's small, bit of a mess, but we'll make a lovely sun trap if you tidied it up. The only problem is there's an operational rail track running alongside the rear fence.
I don't see a problem here. Just start lobbing those bits of rubble over the fence onto the track. They'll soon get the message and withdraw their stupid train service. Just make sure you chuck it at an angle, though, so it looks like it's come from three doors down.
That's an unusual approach. I'm not sure that I like it.
Whatever.
I'm just looking up at the guttering, Tommy. There seems to be a lot of cracks and holes in it, and some of it has come away altogether. That would need to be fully replaced, wouldn't it?
Nah, strip it, burn it. Guttering's an affectation. I think it was a Portuguese invention. We don't actually need guttering in the British climate.
I'm not sure that's right, you know.
Do you like hymns, Martin?
Hymns?
Hymns, yeah. I can see this place being converted into some kind of compound for a religious cult.
Maybe that's something for the purchaser to consider. Let's see what local estate agent Ron Darlington reckons the house is worth.
And I cut it there, Andy.
Oh, right,
Do you think he's a useful addition to Holmes Under the Hammer?
He's a kind of a no-nonsense character. I'm well in favour of him. Regularly refers to his size 12 feet as well.
Size 12?
Have you noticed that?
What size feet? Are you an 8?
I'm an 8, yeah.
Are you happy striding around with your size 8s?
I haven't got a problem. They're not overly cumbersome.
Have you got fat feet?
I find myself, for a fat bloke, I'm quite agile. Nah, they're standard feet. Standard
not wide.
What about yours? What size are yours?
I've got incredibly wide feet. They're almost like square.
Like so, clown shoe feet.
The benefit of it is I can wear any shoe from about a 7 up to an 11. I still get good grip, you know what I mean?
Flapping around like a clown.
So I wear Paul's size 11, I think they are, wading shoes when I'm doing the fishing show.
Right.
And they're fat. That's why I fall over, basically, quite a bit. So, okay. I shouldn't. I'd say I'm anything from a 7 to a 9. Not bothered.
Okay.
Not bothered.
That actually takes us into some of the questions from the listeners. Tom Cousins said, what's the best shoe size? And I think we've just answered that beautifully.
Well, I think 8's a very good size, Andrew. I'm a really nice
size.
I'm happy
with it.
Looks
I'm
nice with a jean.
I'm an average height kind of fella, 5'7".
Yeah.
Maybe he's below average height. I don't know. Well, you don't know either because you're pretty short and all. But I think an 8 is perfectly good shoe size. Min Ingram says, do you think that if you leave some raw liver in the fridge, it crawls into any milk you might have in there, or is that just a myth?
Well, I think it's just a myth. I've never seen liver move under its own
volition
or whatever.
Steam.
Under its own steam, you know, like... So, Andy, would you like a quiz?
Always, Bob.
All right, well, it's called Boing Pop Lead Peanuts.
Peanuts.
Dying Beep Pink. Oh yeah. Crash Bang Wallop Mac. Give me just a little more time. Andrew. I clicked on Google Shopping.
Okay,
so this is where I've sourced them. And
All right.
My search was second-hand albums. God. Yeah?
All right.
And the first three, I promise you, that came up for sale was Led Zeppelin 2, Fleetwood Mac Rumours, and Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay. Okay.
They're all different prices. Can you tell me most expensive to least or vice versa? Led Zeppelin 2, Fleetwood Mac Rumours, Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon.
Is there any kind of indication as to what quality they are in? Have they been graded? Let's say that.
No. Sorry, I mean, no. I have no indication. I just took my first three albums for sale.
And the second-hand, original
pressings. The second-hand, because it's a Google shopping one, they're from, you know, proper record shops.
Right, okay. I'm going to go... Most expensive is going to be Led Zeppelin 2. Then I'm going second most expensive. Middle one is going to be Rumours, Fleetwood Mac, with Dark Side of the Moon as the cheapest of the three.
Sorry, Andy, you've only got one right. Fleetwood Mac Rumours was the second most expensive at £14.02. But the most expensive was Dark Side of the Moon at $19.99, and you didn't even get Fleetwood Mac, because the cheapest was Led Zepp 2 at $15.99. Cheapest was Rumours.
Cheapest.
You're upset,
aren't
you?
Dark Side of the Moon's one of the biggest selling albums of all time. Sure, there's more copies in existence of it, so how come it's the most expensive?
I reckon your thinking is good, but I think you might find that Rumours is a bigger selling, and that's why it's the cheapest. Just saying.
Fair enough. I had a go. I gave it my best shot.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Andrew. Thank you.
Do you remember a while ago when I used to do ASMR?
Yeah.
Or AMSR, is it?
Something
one of
like
them
that,
two?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the speaking softly, and it's meant to be relaxing and soothing for people.
Yeah.
Well, there's a new face on the ASMR scene, and it's the waiter from Slaughter's. And I've just got one of his tapes put out. Yeah, he's doing them now. He's just put one out, so we'll have a little listen to that, shall we?
Go on, then. Oh, God.
A mole stuffed into a rabbit, that's stuffed into a pig's head, that's rammed inside a fucking seal. Double 2-inch thick griddled Shropshire pork chop, sliced from pigs fed only on dripping infused fucking turnips. A whole fucking ox tongue boiled in tap water, served with a crispy owl face that's got a very fucking startled expression. A whole shoulder of pork marinated in utter piss and slow roasted in the stomach lining of a circus horse. A side dish of lightly poisoned puffin tits, served cheekily on one of Ron Craggs's used bandages.
There you go.
I was nearly asleep. That was very good. I enjoyed that.
Did you find that quite soothing, did you?
I did enjoy that, yeah.
So that was nice. Yeah, he's got like something like 9 million fucking followers on YouTube already.
Bloody
following
hell.
That, yeah.
Nice. What about these unidents that have been submitted, Andy?
Yeah. Joe Atkin Reeves submits thus. I used a 4-number padlock lock in the gym last week and aggressively span all the numbers round to lock it as I left. That's quite an admission. An aggressive spin.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be owning up to that. He's probably on steroids. When I came back, 3 numbers were correct and 1 was 1 digit out. Is this a unident? Before we go any further, Can I just say, I have got an apology to make.
Ooh.
I previously said that I was under the impression that Unident was a unique incident. And I've consulted with the podcast elders, and their records suggest that it is an unusual incident.
Unusual incident, yeah.
So all of my adjudications...
A void.
...need to be expunged from the records.
Good thing.
Null and void. Because I've been thinking unique when it was actually unusual, so...
Well, you've apologised, Andy. That's to your credit.
That's something. So, Joe Atkin-Reeve says, is that a Unident? Is that an unusual incident? I'll pass it to you.
I don't think so, Andy.
Really?
Yeah, I think that if it's going to be an unusual incident, it should be a chance in a million. You know what I mean? A chance in a million. But I think that you know when you go to those lock boxes?
Yeah.
You know, like, if you revolve it at the same... Do you know what I mean? He said he did it aggressively.
Yeah.
So if you're spinning all four at the same time,
the chances are it is
going to land somewhere near where he's died if you're overly aggressive.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying. To me, it doesn't feel like it's a chance in a million.
No, that's what I'm looking for. Chance in a million, really. Phil Urry... says, I was at my girlfriend's dad's house on Christmas Eve and pointed out that we were going to see my dad straight after. My girlfriend's dad's partner asked me where my dad lived, so I told her what estate. She told me she used to live on that estate too. I asked her what street. She told me it was the same one where my dad lives. Not at the same house, but a few doors down at number 13. But I did say that I knew the family that lives there. That made me realise I hadn't seen me mate from that family for a good 25 years. So we go to my dad's, and there outside number 13 was my mate delivering Christmas presents to his family. I'll let you two argue whether this qualifies as a Unident.
So he'd not seen him for 25 years.
That's what he's saying.
It just came up in conversation just before then.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a chance in a million?
I think... That is a chance in a million. A chance in a million. So
chance
I'm gonna.
In a million.
I'll give it.
Oh, how delightful! You're gonna give that.
Yeah.
I'm a bag of nerves. I don't know what's real anymore. Because first of all, I thought it was unique incidents, and then all of a sudden, you've just chucked this chance in a million thing variable into it. So I don't know. I'll go along with you. I'll say yeah. Here's another one. Edward Vernon. As I was using a zebra crossing the other day, a silver Citroen Zara Picasso came to a halt to let me cross. I didn't think much of it, the moment, as well as the car. But as I turned my attention to face the traffic coming from the other direction, another silver Citroen Zara Picasso came to a halt. I turned to look back and the first one had already disappeared. Unident?
You know, Andy, I'm struggling a little bit to understand it. So the car on the left has disappeared in the time it took him to look to his right.
It stopped for him to get across.
And then it disappeared.
So where's it gone? And then it's disappeared. And another one appears to his right. So unless it's gone through some kind of time-space continuum, or he's been stood next to a massive mirror that is there for some reason, I don't know. That one scares me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, don't be frightened. Edward sounds a nice chap. I think that, maybe he needs to resubmit it. I don't understand what he means by the first one had already disappeared. Because it would have had to have gone in front of him, wouldn't it?
It would have either that or reverse and do like a quick 3-point turn and bugger off.
We can't give
this,
Andy. There's too many unfathomables.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Sam Jennings says, I live in New York. Well done, Sam.
No, nice.
There's a yuppie place I go that sells imported British confectionery. I purchased some Mr. Kipling cherry Bakewells, standard pack of six, $13.99. And he's put that in capitals, every Bakewell had been topped with two cherries. Unident?
I would need to see other packs of US-based cherry Bakewells because it could just be that's an American thing because Americans are just, as they say these days, extra. Oh, that's so extra. So maybe they've all got two cherries on. Either that or it's the cherry Bakewell equivalent of a double yolk egg.
Yeah, well, it's clearly
about
that.
Six of them.
I think you're right. I think we need to know if this is something to do with importation rules that they have to lob a whole cherry on or something.
Yeah. I can't give it.
But I must say, in fairness to Sam, if all the other American cherry Bakewells have one cherry on, then I would give it.
Yeah, if it's a unusual incident, isn't it? It's probably just factory shenanigans. But look, there's one more. It's a long one, but this is from James, and he keeps submitting it month after month. And I just do.
Andy, I've read it. I don't understand it.
Well, let's see if we can unpick it. I'll get the gist of it. A scorcher of a day during Euro 96. James and his mate Anthony are crossing a field between games, going from one Liverpool pub to another. The pubs were the Lee Park Hotel and the Bridge Inn. Not relevant. As we walked in the blistering heat, Anthony commented that the full pint of lager he'd snuck from the Lee Park was warm, and he threw the entire thing behind him over his shoulder. I carried on chatting about the Euros and whatnot for 20 seconds before I realised I was alone. I turned around to see Anthony stood there, arms stretched out in a platoon plus confusion styly, drenched from top to toe in warm beer, with the empty pint glass proudly stood perfectly upright in the grass behind him. The only possible explanation is the entire contents of the glass jumped 6 feet in the air after landing perfectly on the grass, showering down on Anthony from above. As he wiped the lager from his eyes, he looked at me and said, "Nobody is ever going to believe this." So he's chucked a pint over the top of his head.
Full pint, yeah.
Full pint. It somehow then drenched him seconds later. So he thinks it's bounced behind him on the grass. And then leapt up and distributed its contents over his head.
I mean, centrifugally speaking, if he tossed it above his head and it was spinning, the contents may have stayed in the pint glass for a period of time. Yeah? And then eventually when that spinning ceased, it all fell on top of him. But he would have walked forwards.
Yeah, so it's kind of been thrown behind. There would have, I don't know. If it has bounced, it's bounced at an angle that's projected itself forwards, and that doesn't seem possible, unless it's landed on the back of a squidgy animal and then bounced upwards.
I mean, I think, I don't really understand it, Andrew. I mean, maybe if he could recreate it for us visually.
Mm. Did you say that, centrifugally speaking?
Yes.
Could we start a new podcast called Centrifugally Speaking?
What do we discuss?
At some point.
We discuss everything that rotates. Shoe polishing machines.
Anything that comes under the centrifugal umbrella, I guess.
It's not a bad idea. Washing machines.
Could be a winner. Could win some awards for that. I can't give this.
I don't understand it, Andy, so what can I say?
It's like the one with the sitter in Zara Picasso. It doesn't make any sense, so therefore... if it's beyond the realms of possibility, I can't call it an unusual incident.
Okay, you're a good man. You're a good man. See you around sometime.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.